Good to see your smiling faces today. How is everyone? Yeah. So a couple of you are doing pretty good. That's good. All right. I guess that's all you can expect, right? Hey, so glad that you guys are here. A couple of really quick things. Again, just want to remind you, it is time to bring candy and a lot of good candy and bring the good stuff. Bring the stuff that you like to eat. That's what I always say. All the kids in this neighborhood know this is where you get the good candy on Halloween. And so we've got, I know that Karen mentioned that's about where the White Lion is there, is where we're at. So we had more in there, but Andy got here early today. just come, just bring lots of candy. We're going to have a great time on Halloween here in the neighborhood. We love the neighborhood. We love the kids in this neighborhood. And we want to do everything that we can to bless them. And so it's one of the best opportunities. There is no other day throughout the year like Halloween in that people will just come, right? Like with you don't have to invite them. You don't have to whatever. They will come and they will flood that parking lot out there. They will come in here if we have activities going on in here. And we will have 200-300 kids from the neighborhood just come through here. And so we get to love on them in a fun way, right? So let's do that, and it's going to be a great time. And then also just wanted to mention on the 29th, Sunday the 29th, will be Family Day. So kids, everybody, will all be in here together, and we'll have a great time. We're going to have a great service. And then afterwards, we'll have a potluck lunch. So bring something to share and bring a smile, and we'll just all be in here together. It'll be a great time. So, awesome, huh? Yeah. Everybody's like, was it yesterday like a picture postcard, like Saturday, like rainy day, sweatpant day, take a nap, like just watch TV all day without any sort of guilt because, hey, I can't go outside anyway, right? So I love that. I had a great day. But today, in case you haven't met yet, my name is Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And let's do this. Let's put our mission up. We like to do this every Sunday because vision tends to leak. We tend to forget what we're all about. It's so easy in a church to forget what we're all about, right? And then we become about programs, and then we become about our preferences, and we become about things that lead to the demise of church. And so we don't want to do that. We want to be about what we're all about, the main and the plain, and what God has called us to be. So let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. So we're loving Jesus. We're loving each other. Right? We're growing in Jesus together, and we're going. We're serving each other. We're serving our community for God's glory. And so that's what we're all about as a church. And I'm so excited about this series that we're starting today because it's so like lines up so wonderfully with our vision as a church. And we're starting a new three-part series called Loving Our City to Life. And gosh, I'm so excited about that. I wanted to share something real quick. Because throughout history, we've seen God do miraculous things through his people and through the church to transform just entire cities. So a lot of times we talk about, oh, we're here to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. We're here to bring transformation to the city of Moline, to the Quad Cities, to serve them. And it's just like, wow, really an entire city? You know, I mean, doesn't that sound almost overwhelming when we talk about, like, bringing life to an entire city? But I want to talk about a story just really quick. Just a few years ago, it was back in 2004, there is this city in Kentucky called Manchester. Has anybody heard of Manchester, Kentucky? Really? Has anybody else here even heard of Kentucky? A couple people? Okay, so I know it's a state. I know that, and I know that just that's all I know. But so Kentucky... Manchester, Kentucky was the drug trade was so powerful in Manchester, Kentucky. It was actually known as the painkiller capital because that was sort of the drug of choice. People were illegally taking prescription painkillers and there were just drug dealers everywhere. It was just nasty. And the whole city, it was just so rampant that they were worried literally that they were going to lose the next generation because among young people, the drug use was up, like over half of all young people in Manchester were hooked on painkillers. And so it was just a really, really bad way. The drug dealers were so powerful and so plentiful that literally they would be out like in broad daylight dealing drugs, like just without fear, just you know, the arrogance, right? Just out, like you got the, you come out of Walmart and you got like the Girl Scout cookies with their table, and then the drug dealers had their table. And so it was just, well, maybe it wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad. And in 2004, what happened was, is a couple of churches just decided, you know, this is enough. You know, enough is enough. And I think that sometimes the people of God and the church has to go, you know what, enough is enough. You know, honestly now, and kind of develop almost like a holy anger, you know. And when we begin to say, hey, you know what, this is my city, right? This is my city, and this is your city. And we go, you know what, enough is enough. And so that's kind of the place that they reached. You know what, just enough is enough. And they just started to pray. And they gathered to pray, and the people came out, and they prayed, and they prayed for their city, and they prayed against the drug trade. And they started to repent, which was the other really cool thing. And so the churches got together, and they started to repent. And you know what they repented of? They repented of caring more about buildings and programs than they did about their city. That was the thing they repented of. And so they got together. They said, you know what, God, forgive us for caring more about our building. Forgive us for caring more about, you know, adding another gymnasium or, you know, spending thousands of dollars on lights and whatever. But forgive us for just making it all about the programs and not caring enough about our city. And so they started with repentance, and they prayed for their city, and they prayed against the drug trade. And not only that, but like what happened was is that the prayer started to grow into like rallies and marches. And so the literally thousands of people would get together, and they would march through the street and just pray. They said, you know, we're done with this. And they would pray. And they would tell the drug dealer, the message to the drug dealers was, hey, get saved or go to jail, you know? And so they're just praying. And drug dealer arrests rose by 300%. And it was incredible because addicts started to get sober and churches started to grow and dealers started to give their lives to Christ. And today, a lot of the drug dealers from Manchester now help run ministries to help people get sober and help people get off drugs. And so they really experienced an incredible, just a revival. And God's people had a dream for their city, and they were committed to loving their city to life. And so something just incredible happens when God's people just begin to pray and get a dream for their city. And I kind of want to talk about that today. It's so easy to look at our city through the eyes of negativity and pessimism, isn't it? I mean, it just is. I'll be the first to admit that oftentimes when I drive through the neighborhood or drive through the city, I'm like, holy cow. Like, this is awful, you know? And it's so easy just to get through pessimism, negativity. Crime is higher than the national average here. Income is lower than the national average here. And there's just, is there ever like not trash floating through this neighborhood? Is there ever, you guys live here, is there ever not trash? Could you, you know, it's like, it comes into your yard. Yeah, that's why you have that privacy fence, just to keep the trash out. It's not for privacy yet. Oh, yeah, we've had that too. When we lived in Rock Island, the things that we used to find underwear in our yard. It was disgusting. And so like, you know, and it's so easy to get pessimistic, but God wants us to get like his vision for the city. He wants us to begin to see the city and see our neighborhood through his eyes. Because here's the thing, God has dreams for our city. God has dreams for our city. He looks at our city, he looks at Moline, he looks at our surrounding areas, and he has dreams for it. And his dream is for everyone in our city to know him, right? Everyone in our city to know that he loves them. God has a dream for our city, and he wants to rewrite the story because there's a story being written about our city, isn't there? I mean, just look at the newspaper, watch the news, look around. There is a story, there is a narrative being written about our city, and God wants to rewrite that. And he wants to change that story. And he wants to change it from one of despair, one of poverty, right? One of spiritual death. And he wants to change the story to one of hope, to one of healing, and to a story of life. God wants to abolish abuse. Did you know that? That we talk about, you know, domestic abuse being very high, especially in this neighborhood. And there's a story of abuse, and there's a story of addiction, and he wants to abolish those things. God doesn't want to see abuse in our city anymore. He doesn't want to see addiction in our city anymore. That's not God's desire for our city. And so it's up to us to understand and to take on God's heart for our city and take on God's heart, for our neighborhood. And here's the thing, is God's method for rewriting that story, God's method for abolishing drugs, for abolishing abuse, God's method for letting the whole neighborhood know that they love him is you. And it's me. That is God's method. So you're like, well, how's God going to do it? Well, look at the person next to you and say he's going to do it through you. Right? That is God's method. So when you look in the mirror, you are looking at God's method for changing the city. All right? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen through you. Because like I've said before, God didn't just save you from something, right? And it's so good that we celebrate that God saved us from sin and God saved us from all those things. God didn't just save you from all these things. He saved you for something as well. And he saved you to help rewrite the story of our city. That's why he saved you. So he didn't just save you from something. He saved you for something. We can't delegate the job of loving our city to life. We can't delegate that to somebody else. A lot of times we like to do that. It's up to you and it's up to me. So, you know, how do we do this? How do we go about loving our city to life? This is what we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. I'm super excited. How do we start changing the dismal narrative? And so we'll talk about that today. I'm super excited especially, but let's go ahead and pray real quick. God, we love you so much. God, we pray that you would just cause your word to come alive in us, that it would bring change to us. Lord, we don't want to just look at your word and then go, hey, great word, and then go about our business, God. Lord, we want to hear your word, say, hey, great word, and then go about your business. And so, Lord, help us to do that today. We'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are going to start off. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And this takes place after Jesus died and rose again. So kind of looking at scripture here, it's Acts, and it's shortly after Jesus had died and rose again, and he had ascended into heaven. And now the disciples were kind of like on their own, so to speak. You know, I mean, yes, God's presence was with them, but Jesus didn't live with them and do life with them anymore. And so two of Jesus' followers, Peter and John, they're walking to a prayer meeting, and they come across this crippled beggar. And then you won't believe what happens next. Little link bait just to get you started. Okay, so it says this. It says, starting with verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Has anybody here ever been asked for money when you're out and about around town? Okay, yes, all right. And this just happens. There's one guy, actually, that I run into him in Rock Island. I've run into him a few times on various times of the year, and it's always his birthday. Has anybody met that guy, the birthday guy? Yeah. Hey, man, it's my birthday today. Really? It was your birthday like 5 weeks ago. You're a lucky man. And so, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." I'm going to try that next time I run into a birthday guy. Look at me. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. And then Peter begins to preach about Jesus, and it's this awesome thing, and a lot of people come to believe and all that stuff. I love this story, and this isn't like in my notes, but listen, so often we're not quite sure what to do, and I love it how Peter and John's response was to pray. You know, was to pray, has anybody here ever had the pleasure and the honor of, like, outside of church, praying for a stranger? It's awesome. Give it a shot. If you've never prayed for a stranger outside of church, there's just something so awesome that happens. I believe that, I don't know. I don't want to get all weird and ultra spiritual. I think that it just carries a special anointing. The presence of God is there, and I have never once ever regretted praying for a stranger outside of church. So, well, listen, if you remember one thing, remember this: loving our city to life requires us seeing it as God does. We have got to begin to see our city the way that God does. And when you are faced with bad news, and you are faced with just seeing things through just the eyes of the temporal and the eyes of the now every day, sometimes it can be really hard to see the city as God does. I don't know how Andy does. He works with criminals all the time. You know, I don't even want to see the city the way Andy sees the city. I want to see the city the way God does. And so we have got to learn to see the city as God does and see people as God does. I'm sure that that this crippled man didn't exactly show a lot of promise. I'm sure that like Peter and John weren't like, that dude looks like he could be an executive if he just got healed. I'm sure he didn't show a whole lot of promise. His friends didn't even want to take care of him. I mean, think about it. His friends just dropped him off at the beginning of the day and picked him up at the end of the day. They didn't even want to take care of him, right? They're just like, hey, dude, we can't take care of you. We're just going to drop you off, and you're going to have to beg, and then we'll pick you up at the end of the day, okay? They just left him there. But Peter and John, they saw something else. You know, what did Peter and John see in this guy? I don't know, but I know that they saw a testimony, right? So when they saw the crippled beggar, they saw a testimony, they saw a promise, and they saw an opportunity to display the love and power of Jesus. They saw opportunity, right? Even Scripture says opportunity. Peter saw the opportunity and addressed the crowd, right? And so we need to begin to see the things that aren't right, the things that are unjust, the things that are negative about our city, and we need to begin to see opportunities. So when we see things that need to be corrected, we can go, okay, that's an opportunity to pray. It's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to do something, right? It's an opportunity to call the cops, at least. So, but it's an opportunity, okay? And so when I drive through Moline and I see the same thing that I'm sure you guys see, empty storefronts. We've got plenty in our neighborhood. You see empty storefronts, right? We see rundown homes. We see drug dealers. And to quote the words of our Haitian friend, Pastor Fontaine, I just want to pull up their pants. And so, that was the best. I will never forget that. We were in a small group with Pastor Fontaine. He's in Haiti. He's a Haitian through and through. And we're in a small group one time, and we say, Pastor Fontaine, well, what does it look like to you to live out your faith in a way that's radical, that's different, that's, you know, seen, what's that? How do you live sacrificially for the Lord? And because of the language of barrier, he just says, when I see a young man with his pants down, I go up behind them and I pull up their pants. And so, hey, if you see opportunity in that, then you go right ahead. I'm going to stay away from the pants ministry and I will do other things. But, you know, when I drive through Molino and I see those things, I ask God to help me to see the city as he does. Okay, because he doesn't see it the same way that we do. I said, help me to see the city as he does. And then when I do, when I see begin to see the city as God does, I see potential. Okay, I see businesses established. I see addictions broken. I see families restored. And that's what I begin to see when I ask God to show me the city through his eyes. And so I pray that today, more than anything, that you would begin to see our city and our neighborhood the way that God sees it, okay? And so what do you see when you drive through the neighborhood? What do you see when you're driving through the city? Ask God to give you his vision. God, what do you want to do in this neighborhood? What do you want to do in our city, okay? Ask God to give you his vision for it, all right? Pray for our city, and it will change your perspective. So when you begin to drive through it, just pray as you're driving through our city. When you see empty storefronts, when you see the guy standing out there and you know he's just waiting for a customer to come by, you know, when you see these things, pray for your city, and when you pray for your city, it will change your perspective, okay? Get a dream for our city. begin to get a dream for our city. And I know that this is difficult to do, but listen, when you're drifting off to sleep at night, begin to imagine how your neighborhood could change. Begin to imagine how God could use you, how God can work and do amazing things. Get a dream for our city. How do we get a dream that will love our city to life? Well, the first thing is this, is stand up and make yourself available. We need to be people that make ourselves available in our city. Okay? Make yourself available. In verse 4, Peter and John, they take a good look at this crippled man, and they say, hey, look at us. Look at us. Okay? They made themselves available. And who knows? I don't know what time they got there. They could have been there at 3:01 thinking I'm going to be late for this prayer meeting. If that guy's still there, maybe afterwards I'll pray for him. You know what I mean? They could have just went on their business and not made themselves available. And you know what? We like to sort of like stick to our schedule, don't we? I do. I love to stick to my schedule. I love it at the end of the day when I could look at my calendar and do it. Did it all on time, got that test done, blah, 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 blah. But if I would have been a little more flexible, there are a few people I probably could have touched along the way. Okay? Make yourself available. It's not all about just sort of, you know, getting things done on your calendar. I love it. Like, anybody here ever heard the expression African time? I'm sure they do it in Haiti, Haitian time. You know what I mean? Haitian time. Yeah, what's time? Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like this life of living opportunity. And when life comes along and opportunities come along, we're available and we're not just stuck to this sort of strict, you know, our agenda, and getting this done and getting that done. And so it's so important that we make ourselves available. So often we see hurts, we see needs in our community, and what do we say? And I'm guilty of doing this. When I see a need, when I see something that has to change, when I see something that needs to be done in our community, what do I say and what have you said? They need to do something about this. Has anybody ever said that? They need to do something about that. They need to change that. They need to enact a program. They need to clean that up. They need to send somebody to do this or that, right? And so we do, they need to do something. And what we're doing when we do that then is we're delegating the healing of our city to some unknown they. And can I just tell you, they are not going to get it done. You and I, we're they. We're they. So every time we say, hey, they need to do something about the drug problem. Hey, they need to do something about domestic abuse in our city. Hey, they need to do this or they need to do that. They need to clean up this neighborhood. They need to bring some guys down with rubber gloves and plastic bags and clean up the trash here. You are they, and I am they. We are they, and we need to make ourselves available for the healing of our city. Okay? And we should be saying, like Peter said, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'll be they. I'll help. Right? I'll help. And so it's up to you and it's up to me to bring hope to our city. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. There's no plan B. Okay? Can I just tell you, nowhere in the Bible, when Jesus gives the Great Commission and Jesus calls us to engage in the ministry of reconciliation with him, nowhere in there does he go, hey, listen, if you're too busy, a government agency will do it. Okay? Hey, don't worry about it, church. If you can't handle it, write a letter to the mayor. All right? You're they. We're they. There is no plan B. It's us, okay? It's up to you, and it's up to me to bring hope to our city, and if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. So we need to raise our hands and go, okay, over here, I'll go, I'll do it. All right? And so that's the first thing. Stand up, make yourself available. When we make ourselves available to rewrite the narrative of our city, amazing things happen. And so the next thing is this. Offer what you have. Offer what you have. All right? Listen, Peter didn't have any money to give the guy, but he could pray for him, okay? And so we think that if we don't have a gajillion dollars to give and we don't have the ability to help everyone with everything, then there's just no point in trying. Because it could be, that mentality can be really overwhelming, can't it? I can't change the city. I can't change our neighborhood. Yeah, maybe not, but you can change the neighborhood, kids. You can reach out to your neighbor. You know, you can do something for somebody, right? And so I'm sure that the crippled man wasn't the only one at the temple needing healing. Anybody ever think about that? Do you think the crippled guy was just the only one there needing healing? I doubt it, you know? And so I'm sure he wasn't the only one there. He was just the only one in front of John and Peter at that moment. And so if you remember this, just, you know what? Do for one person what you wish you could do for everyone. Right? We might not be able to you know, influenced the lives of all 275 kids in the Rock Island County foster care system, but we can influence the lives of 20, 25 of them at camp, right? And now mentorship programs that are coming. Holla, yeah, I'm so excited about that. So we're actually doing mentorship programs. We're going to be with our camp kids once a month. Oh, I'm so excited, okay? But listen, just do for one person what you wish you could do for everyone, okay? And if we all took the time to change the life of one person, and they helped one person, and they helped one person, you know what? That could change the world. That could change the world. So just do for one person what you wish you could do for everybody, okay? Cook a meal for someone. Say a kind word. Mentor an at-risk kid. Come on, Wendy, give me an amen, right? Mentor an at-risk kid. I'm waiting for you. If I can't get my wife to give me a little amen, I'm in trouble. I'm done. Okay, so, you know what? Just do for one. Just offer what you have. Do what you can do. Offer what you have. Next thing, dream dreams for a city that require God to do a miracle. Dream dreams for a city that require God to do a miracle. You know, maybe you have a dream to introduce everyone on your street to Jesus, everybody in your little block or your little street where you live to Jesus. You know, dream dreams for a city that require God to do a miracle. I know that sounds sort of like, wait a minute, you just said do something small. Listen, dream dreams, though. Dream dreams that are big, okay? Maybe your dream is to start a business, and then the profits help to feed homeless people, right? I think that there are a lot more entrepreneurs in our midst than will actually raise their hand and do something entrepreneurial. Can I just tell you, entrepreneurialism is godly. It is. It really is. And so when we begin to start businesses and put businesses in these empty storefronts, and we get to hire one person and give one person a job, and we begin to change the economy of our neighborhood, God wants our economy to be strong. Why does God want our economy to be strong? Because he doesn't like poverty, okay? And so all of us are going, oh, wait a minute, but you know what? We need more government programs to help with the poverty thing. We need more handouts. Listen, entrepreneurialism is a beautiful thing because it helps to end poverty. It helps to bring jobs. It helps to bring life to our neighborhood. I believe that God wants more of us to stand up and be entrepreneurial, okay? And so maybe your dream is to start a business, or maybe you have a dream to get drugs out of our neighborhood. That's awesome. And I don't believe that getting drugs out of our neighborhood requires some sort of death wish, Charles Bronson style, elimination program. It means getting people saved, right? Introducing them to Jesus. And dream big dreams and trust that God is going to come through. I love, because we have people here in our church that are dreaming big dreams right now. You know, we got people like these guys over here who are starting a home for disabled people. And I love that big dream. I'm praying for that dream. We've got an entrepreneur over there who has a business, and she's talking to people every day as they come in, and she's raising money for camp through it and all sorts of cool stuff. We have entrepreneurs, and I just love that. Dream big dreams and trust that God will come through. I'm sure that Peter was nervous about healing that guy, right? Listen, I've never prayed for somebody for healing without having a little bit of nervousness that they weren't going to be healed. Okay? Everybody is nervous, you know, because we're like, well, I don't want to pray for that person because what if nothing happens, right? And I can even imagine Peter thinking to himself, if he doesn't get healed, maybe I can tell him, I meant metaphorically, God is going to help your spirit to get up and walk, right? Maybe he was thinking thoughts like that. And sometimes we kind of, you know, those thoughts come into our mind. Well, listen, dream dreams that require a miracle, all right? And pray for people that for miracles. Dare to dream for your city and watch God come through. Watch God come through for you because he wants to. He wants to, okay? And the last thing is this, take the opportunity to give glory to God. When people noticed what Peter and John did, what did Peter do? He took the opportunity to tell everybody what God had done. Right? He says he took the opportunity and addressed the crowd. He began to speak. I love it. You know, it's funny, like, have you ever watched football? That's like a sport, right? Sports. I just apologize to every football fan out there. Bill, I think, is our only one. We've got one football fan, right, Bill? Yeah, I don't know if you call the Lions a football team. And the Bears. And so, you know, and I love it how, like, an athlete will score a touchdown, and a lot of times, what do they do? Right? It's like all of a sudden they give glory to God. And so often we forget that part of loving our city to life. When we do something good, when we do something that makes a difference in someone's life, and they go, wow. And you can go, hey, it's all God. This is what God wants for your life. This is what God wants for our city. This is what God wants for our neighborhood. Take the opportunity to give the glory to God, okay? And Peter took that opportunity. And when you start making a difference, and you will, make sure to put the spotlight on Jesus. Make sure to put the spotlight on him, no matter how hard you worked for it. Put the spotlight on Jesus. And when your business succeeds, when people thank you for your kindness, when your love is noticed, give glory to God. Acts chapter 4 says that many people heard the message then and they believed it. Many people heard the message and they believed it because Peter and John saw a need, they gave what they could, and they give the glory to God, right? And so this morning what I want to do, we're going to wrap up here, but I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this morning to start dreaming for our city. And so if that means writing a note on your arm or putting a post-it on your dashboard to remind you when you're driving through town, if it means, you know, putting that on your hand when you're walking through work and people want to kill you, and, you know, begin to dream for your city and begin to get a vision. Proverbs says that without a vision, people perish, right? But you know what? When God's people stop dreaming, that's when the city starts perishing. When you and I, when God's people, when the church stops dreaming for our city, that's when the city begins to perish. And so that's why it's so important that we have a dream for our city. Do you want to see the kids in our neighborhood encounter God? I do. You know, do you want to see businesses flourish? I sure do. You know, do you want to see abuse eliminated? Yeah. I just want to tell you just two quick things before we close. And these are little practical things that we can do, that you and I can do for our city. The first thing is this. We started an Old Town Neighborhood Facebook group, just a closed group, because we felt that it would be a great opportunity to get to know the people in our neighborhood. And the group basically has been established just to say, hey, you know, if you need something in your neighborhood, you can put it up here. If you have a concern, maybe you see a crime and you want to put it up there, and we want to share information as neighbors and connect with each other as neighbors. And so what I did is, and you might not live in the Old Town neighborhood here. Maybe you live in another neighborhood like I do, but this is where our church family is, and so we kind of consider this like our second home. I joined the group, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out an email on the city this afternoon with a link to the group, and I just really encourage you to join it, okay? Because once we're all on it, in a couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we are going to get door hangers, and the door hanger will have a link to the Old Town Neighborhood Facebook group, okay? And it's not a group to promote the church. That's not what it's all about. It's just to say, hey, let's connect as neighbors. And we have neighbors here. We have people that just moved into the neighborhood, and we have people that have lived in the neighborhood for years. We have people that that live just a couple doors down, and it's just awesome, and a couple blocks down. And so just join the group so that you can become part of the conversation and making this neighborhood awesome, okay, for God's glory, doing what we could do. And it's just a way of saying I'll help out. I'll be a part of the solution, okay? So I'm going to send that link over to the city today. And then the other thing is this. We're going to close up here in just a second. And Wendy, you go ahead and come up because we're just about done here. I made a commitment to try to end on time this week, because the last couple of weeks I've been running late. So I've been talking really fast. But what I want to do is I want to really challenge you. And go ahead. So what I did is I turned the cross around. So we have the corkboard side of the cross, okay? And we've got some post-it notes, and you can take them and pin them to the cross like so. And there's a couple of pens up here. But I just want to challenge you, if you have a dream for the city, or if you don't have a dream for a city, but you just sort of have an idea, or you have something that will allow God to move through you to love our city to life. Write it on a post-it note, put it here so that we can be praying for you. You don't have to put your name down there if you don't want to or whatever. You can keep it anonymous. But maybe your dream is just to lead a coworker to Christ and you want to put their name here. Or maybe your dream is to start a business in our city, to be entrepreneurial, and it's going to make a difference in the economy of our city. And you want to write that down and you want to put it here. We want to put our dreams at the foot of the cross. We want to give our dreams to Jesus. And we want to be praying for them, okay? Because when we do, here's what happens. Jesus says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And so when we take our dreams and we share those dreams with Jesus, he shares them with us, right? Instead of them being on our shoulders all together, how am I going to make this happen? How am I going to make this happen? We share those with Jesus and he walks with us. And so that's what that's there for. So I'm going to challenge you with that during this last couple minutes of the service today, during this last song. And so go ahead and you can write it down and you can put it there. And so let's go ahead and pray. Father, there are so many dreams in this place today. There are so many dreams. God, I pray that you would help us to be a people that just absolutely love this city to life. Love this neighborhood to life. God, that we would be a part of the solution, Lord, to the abuse problem in this neighborhood, that we would be a part of the solution to the drug problem in this neighborhood, that we would be a part of the solution of the economic decay in this neighborhood, God, that we would be a part of the solution of foster children and what they're going through, God, that we would be a people that will say, hey, I'm available. I'm available. Look at me. I'll do it. God, that we would most of all have your heart and your vision for the city, that we would see our neighborhood and see our city and see our neighbors the way that you do, God. God, that you would use us to rewrite the story of this city, to rewrite the narrative from one of hopelessness, from one of despair, to one of hope, to one of love, to one of freedom. God, that we would rewrite the story, God, that you would rewrite it through us. And God, that it would be for your glory and for your honor. Always, always, always.